Well, I want to welcome you all to another Daily Decan on this Shrove Tuesday, or Fat Tuesday, or Mardi Gras, or Carnival, or whatever you want to call it, or however you keep it, provided you're keeping it in accordance with the teachings of the Holy Church, and not according to any carnal or debauched inclinations. I want to wish you all the blessings of God and His holy saints today, and all the prayers of the Church. I don't have any special intentions written in today, but I nevertheless encourage you to do that, as I'll continue to encourage you on every recording that I make, to write it, send in your intentions, take advantage of the audience that we've successfully gathered here with the Daily Decad, so that all of us can lend our prayers to your help, especially if you're struggling through Lent, or you know someone who's struggling with the Lenten sacrifice, or someone that you wish was struggling with the Lenten sacrifice. Let us lend our hands to you, our words and our prayers, and for the intercessions of the saints, and for God's grace upon all those near and dear to you. It's a spiritual work of mercy for us to do such a thing, and it's something that all of us can benefit from this Lent. So please, give us that opportunity, I beg of you. If you have intentions to write in, you can write those in to Daily Decad Requests, that's Decad, D-E-C-A-D-E, Requests in the plural, at protonmail.com. I don't have any special intentions that have come in through the email, but I do have a couple of special intentions that were submitted. I sent out a call. We're about to start Lent. Normally, this is something of a celebratory day, but I think that it behooves us to bear in mind, as we're coming into this penitential season, those that have gone before us in the faith, and to remember our dead relatives, whether they died within the faith or without it, especially without it, and remember them in our prayers and pray for them and all the faithful departed as we begin this Lenten season. It's something that I've always admired about what the Eastern Christians do, where they have Saturdays reserved for special prayers for the dead all the way throughout Lent. And I think that's a really marvelous thing that they make a bigger deal out of than you usually see in the Latin Rite. And it's something that it's part of the reason why there's more than one body of Catholics, the Latin Catholics, and all of the various Eastern rites that exist. There is a great beauty and a great grace that accompanies those rites that was lost because of the pride, because of the error of men who schismed from the Church. And to have those restored is necessarily a good thing. That's why we have the treaties. That's why all that unification took place, to preserve and hang on to it. So it's worth taking a little bit of thought to the East and how they do things during Lent. See if there's not a discipline that we could gain, a practice that we could learn from, some strength that they possess that could lend strength to us. That's not to say that the Latin practices are insufficient. Certainly they're sufficient. They've gotten how many generations of Catholics into heaven? But all the same, there's always room for us to seek strength from all of the different forms of worship that are approved, are held to be approved by God. So today, we'll say a little prayer for the deceased. It might add a little somberness to the celebrations that we're otherwise engaging in, but that's a good thing too, because it reminds us of exactly what season we're entering into, and it also reminds us, more importantly, of the stakes. So we'll pray for all of your deceased relatives without names now, and I'll mention the names of those that have specifically requested prayers as we get into the rosary itself. Let's put ourselves now in the presence of God. I've debated a lot whether I was going to do this in Latin or in English, but I think the majority of people that submitted names are people that pray in English, so we'll do today in English and tomorrow in Latin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, weeping and mourning with this veil of tears. Turn then, O gracious Advocate, thine eyes of mercy unto us. And after this our exile, shew unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary, pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Remember, O Lord, thy servants and handmaids who have gone before us, now rest in the sleep of peace, especially Vivian, Diego, Gladys, Jean, John, Frank, Verlin, Sally, Bobby, John, Joseph, James, Mary, and Joseph. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and make thy perpetual light to shine upon them, and may they rest in peace. For those of us in struggle, in strife, in the difficulties of this life, St. Michael the Archangel, Defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In all our Lenten struggles and all our Lenten observances, Saint Joseph, patron of the universal church, defend us. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, thy kingdom come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I hope you'll remember all of those names in your own prayers throughout the Lenten season. And, of course, anyone else who has deceased relatives that you'd like us to pray for, or generally prayers for those in purgatory are always an important thing to incorporate into every day that you pray. So I encourage you to do that. And be sure to always pray for your deceased relatives. Never assume that things go well with them. And the other thing to bear in mind is that we have no clear understanding of the efficacy that our prayers have on those that have entered into eternity. Don't forget that those who have died have entered into eternity, and at the moment of their judgment, they are in an eternal state. That means they're removed from time and temporality. And as a result, no one knows the state of the soul of someone who has died. In some cases, not even a suicide. There's a wonderful case of St. John Marie Vianney, who was pressed in by a crowd coming to see him and seek his aid. There was a woman among the crowd who was recently a widow. Her husband had thrown himself off a bridge in the Seine River. And he had picked her out from the crowd and said, "He is in purgatory. He repented before the end." And that's a saint, granted visions, the ability to know the fate of certain souls. Great grace bestowed on them, as it's bestowed on a few other rare saints. But it proves definitively that even a suicide, we cannot say for certain what their state was in their final moments. We know that certain people will be granted the grace of final penitence, some people will not. Not knowing, and because we live in a temporal reality where time has passed by and they stand in judgment in eternity, we know that no matter how far removed we are from them, our prayers for them in purgatory are efficacious. That's true of people standing before the judgment throne at this very moment. There's a really wonderful story from Alexander Solzhenitsyn that is cited by Bishop Sheen in a talk that he gave. I can't recall exactly which talk it was, but it's a story of a woman. I believe it's in the Brothers Karamazov, however you pronounce it. I've read enough Russian literature to think that I would know, but I don't. And there's a woman who lives her entire life in wickedness and in sin and in bitterness, and she dies. And she stands before the throne of God to be judged, and she's cast into hellfire. And her angel, her guardian angel, struggles to find something to pull her from the fire. And he finds one onion that she had given out of pure charity to someone who was in need of food. And he took this onion to her and threw it to her, and she began to be, and she grabbed hold of it, and it held, and he began to pull her out. She began to climb out of hell by the end. And as the other souls of the damned saw what she was doing, they began to clamor over her and try to take advantage of this as well. And her response is, no, the onion is mine. It belongs to me. Get off of me. And the minute that she said those words, the onion snapped and she was cast into the fire for eternity. Now, of course, this doesn't come from a saint. It comes from Alexander Solzhenitsyn. But Bishop Shane saw in it a truth of our love of God manifested in our love of our fellow man. And it has to be that. It has to be the love of God manifested in love for our fellow man. It can't just be love for our fellow man on some humanitarian impetus. He saw in this a basic lesson that the love of God is enough, no matter how small it may be, is enough to carry us out of hellfire. But our insistence on ourselves can snuff out that love and can cast us into the fires forever. So there's two lessons there. The first one is you don't know what love dwells in the hearts of your ancestors. Very great love. And so never ever despair of any of your ancestors, anyone who's come before you that you pray for. And I pray every morning for the for all my children's ancestors. That's the prayer that I offer. And on the same token, never take for granted that your ancestors are saved. There's an awful lot of people that run around in this country, and I think throughout the world, who say with definitiveness that so-and-so is looking down on us, so-and-so must be so happy in heaven, so-and-so is an angel now. That last one is particularly heretical. And as a result, they don't pray for the dead. And so-and-so may be an onion away from damnation, and your prayers can put that onion in his hand, but you don't pray because you just assume that all dogs go to heaven. Well, so much for the onion. So it's very important to pray for the deceased. It's very important to pray for them, no matter what, no matter who they are. We know that certain people that we would not think are in heaven have been told to certain visionaries and seers and seeresses of the proper Catholic sort, not witches and that sort of thing, but people who have been granted visions. We know that certain people that we would not expect to be in heaven are told to us to be in heaven. I have forgotten the name of the saint in question, but she's a saint that was canonized by the Church after the Second Vatican Council, and that's an important point, not why you're thinking, but it's an important point. And she had visions and saw and had revealed to her the state of certain souls in purgatory. And one of the visions that she had, and it was fairly early on in her spiritual career, so to speak, was that of Benito Mussolini, who is well known for having cursed his faith and acted really the part of a very godless man for most of his life. His mother was devout Catholic, but his father was a skeptic and atheist, if I'm not mistaken, a Freemason. And as a result, he followed his father's footsteps. He started out as a socialist and held on to all of that, even though his own government was friendly with the Church and signed the Lateran Treaty. Nevertheless, he himself was not a believer, and he engaged in a life generally of sin. But it was revealed to this saint, this woman whose name I've forgotten, but she is real, it's not apocryphal, that he was in purgatory because he had repented before the partisans finally took his life. And purgatory was awful, and he asked for her prayers. She offered her prayers and commended him to the saints. And it was revealed to her later on in life, some years later, that he had in fact won his full admittance to heaven, having served out his time in purgatory, and with the help of her prayers, that time was significantly short. And so, because the Vatican gives its blessing to this particular saint, while these are private revelations, and we're not required to believe in any private revelations, it is acceptable for a Roman Catholic to accept and believe that Benito Mussolini is in heaven, beholding the beatific vision. And that's a very interesting thing to think about. So you never know. You never know the state of a soul. And so our prayers are deeply efficacious. Well, that wasn't what I was planning on talking about today, but you know, I think it's about as important a subject as any other.
Prayers
for the deceased, for those that come before us. Because the more prayers that we offer now, and the better example we set for our children, the more we can expect to be prayed for ourselves. We are those who are blessed with children. I think it's another reason why it's important to have children. The only people who, the risks that are run by the childless are tremendous. Not just in this life, where you don't have anyone to take care of you in your old age. You can feel a certain disdain for those who have preached the so-called child-free life. I don't think there's anything free about it. But you can disdain those people and hold them in contempt. But you must have at least some sympathy and pity for them. Because not only will they have no one to care for them in their old age, but where they're going to need prayers. And there's not going to be anybody left to pray for them. There's not going to be anybody to remember them, tend their graves, have masses said for them. None of that. That is a truly terrible punishment. And a truly terrible trick for the devil to pull off people. To convince them that somehow they're better off without having descendants. Now, that doesn't say anything about monastic and priestly celibacy. The reason why I say that is because don't forget that they do have children. And I don't just mean the Borgia kind. The priests have spiritual children in their flocks. And a priest, a good priest, is prayed for by his flock continuously. He's remembered on the rolls of his parish. And he has many people who remember him, and the same is true of monks. A monastic inevitably has children as long as a monastery exists. One of the worst things that you can do to a monastery is close it down such that those monks are deprived of their spiritual children, their inheritors. They cannot be spiritual fathers to anyone. And the monastery, this continued inheritance of prayer and devotion to fighting the good fight against the devil and his minions, is cut off when those legions are disbanded and monasteries dissolve. It is a great sin and a great evil to dissolve a monastery. So, well, maybe that's another group of people we ought to have in our prayers, is all those kings and heretic princes who abandoned the church and closed the monasteries. And there are plenty of them. And Republicans, too. It's not just monarchs. Plenty of Republicans that were responsible for all of that. And all those people need prayers because they put themselves in great danger. But we, the faithful, who pray for the monasteries and in our almsgiving give them material support, we help to keep alive a family. We help to produce another generation of monks and nuns who pray for the previous generations of monks and nuns, so that they always have someone praying for their souls. The same thing is true of priests when we support the seminaries, when we support our local parish in almsgiving, which is a very important part of it. Not the most important part, probably fasting is the most important part, but nevertheless an important part. We give these people families, inheritors, and descendants that we as lay people can have. If you're a layman, have no descendants, make no efforts to secure some descendants through mentorship or through help and active involvement in your parish, you're depriving yourself of all those prayers after your death. Some people are not given the gift of children by God. It's a great gift and a great grace for God to say He has a trust in you that you have the ability to get this many people into heaven. Particular struggle for fathers and daughters, I think. And those who are gifted and blessed with many daughters are people who are men who are truly trusted by our Lord. Very difficult to, in this day and age, in this world, with all of the afflictions, because women in particular are attacked, young women are attacked, their virginity is attacked by the world that we live in. So it's a great struggle for a man who has nothing but daughters to get those daughters to heaven in this day and age. Men who only have daughters ought to view that as a great blessing. I certainly do. As sons, as well. It's also a struggle to get all your children. with his sons or daughters into heaven. But as many children as you have, that's how many people God, that's you plus however many people God thinks you have the ability to get into heaven. It's a great trust. Trust not to be betrayed either. And so we offer an opportunity, we're offered an opportunity to have people to pray for us. But we can only do that if we set the example of praying for others. Giving alms to produce generation after generation of people that can pray for those that don't have natural descendants because they've offered their descendants to God through their celibacy. And we all have a responsibility to pray for those who have failed, who have produced no heirs because they did not want to, or because they were tricked by the devil. They've engaged in the sin of infanticide, or the accessory, I suppose it's an accessory to infanticide if you practice birth control. It's kind of a kill the child before the child is even thought of. A terrible thing. But all those people need prayers. And Lent is a great time to offer our penances and our prayers not only for ourselves but for everybody else as well. And my prayer today is that every single one of you has people to pray for you. You have me, and you have each other. But all the way through your life, I hope that you all, and I pray sincerely, that you all will always have someone who has you in their prayers. And in turn, in gratitude, I hope that you will always have someone else in your prayers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.